We're going to do something a little bit different here this morning. The name of the message here this morning will be Divine Appointments. And if you notice that the scripture reading is from John chapter 4, verses 3 through 29, a story about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. But instead of reading our scripture this morning, I'm going to show you the video. We're going to watch about a 4-minute video of the Samaritan woman. So I hope this works. It worked earlier today. So if you want to train your eyes here front and center, let's watch this video. The Samaritan woman. Let's take a look at this conversation here this morning between Jesus, the Messiah, and the Samaritan woman. We're going to look at this in a very practical view here this morning. The first thing I want to point out, I've got a little map up here. Verse 3 of chapter 4 tells us that Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Galilee. It says that he started off down here in the area of Judea, this green area, making their way up here to the area of Galilee. That would be about 62 miles that they would have to travel to get to where they are headed. Considering in those days, people could walk about 20 miles a day, this would be about a 3-day trip for Jesus and his disciples to make to get to their destination. And the text tells us that they had to travel through an area of Samaria. And we see that right here in this white area in between the area of Judea and the area of Galilee. It says that they stopped in verse number 5 in a town called Sychar, which is about 40 miles. There's Sychar right there, which is about 40 miles into their journey. So at this point, they have probably walked at least 2 full days to get to where they're going. And it says that Jesus was weary from his journey, and he stopped at a well, Jacob's well, to rest. In the spiritual scheme of things, I do not believe in coincidence. I believe in divine providence. I believe in something that I like to call divine appointments. And I certainly believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe that people are placed in certain places at certain times to fulfill the divine promises of God. So this morning, let's talk about divine appointments that certain people may have with other people. First of all, what is a divine appointment? Well, I got the definition up here on the board. A divine appointment, this is also a fill in the blank in your bulletin, and there could be many different definitions. This is the one that I chose. I thought it described it best. A divine appointment is commonly defined as an incident or meeting that might initially seem to be random or routine. You might want to use that word routine, random or routine, whichever word you want to use, but it is soon recognized having been orchestrated by God. Been orchestrated by God. It's a divine appointment that God has made. It's a time, let me try to say it a different way. It's a time when you just so happen to be at the right place at the right time to share your faith or to share Jesus, share God with someone else in some way. And you may not know that what you're in at the moment is a divine appointment until sometime later after it's all said and done. Wow, that was a divine appointment I was a part of. If we were to go back to the book of Esther, it's a book we don't go to very often. It's a great story, book of Esther. Chapter 4, verse 14, Mordecai, who is Esther's cousin, says this to Esther, who is a Jewish lady, who is the queen of Persia at that time. And he tells her this, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish." Here comes the key line. "Yet who knows whether you have come to this kingdom for such a time as this." For such a time as this. I love those words, "for such a time as this." I certainly believe in the volition of mankind. What is volition? I have that definition on the inside of your bulletin. Volition is the power of choosing or determining, an act of making a choice or a decision. And let's face it, we know we have volition. We make decisions and choose things every day, probably hundreds of times a day. As a matter of fact, you have probably already chosen where you are going to have lunch today and what you are going to eat for lunch today. You have made a choice. But sometimes our choices, which we make on a daily basis, along with the sovereignty of God, place us right smack dab center into what we call a divine appointment. And to this Samaritan woman here in our story in John chapter 4, it's just another day. It's another random day, another routine day of fetching water at the well. But she is about to be on the receiving end of a divine appointment with the Messiah. Beginning in verse number 7, Jesus does a few things while his disciples are in town. Jesus does a few things that are really not acceptable by the social standards at the time for a Jewish man to be doing. One, he's speaking with a woman. Two, he's speaking with a Samaritan woman. And three, he is about to use the same cup as used by someone who is not a Jew, a Gentile woman, one of these despised Samaritans. And these three issues are taboo with Jewish men at this time. But we must remember this. Jesus is not concerned with racial, ethnic, gender, or social status, nor is he concerned with Jewish tradition, things that are not scripture. He's concerned only about one thing. He's concerned about the soul of every individual. His mission was not to clean up the society, because if it was, he would have done that. Jesus is not a social justice warrior. His mission was and is to save people from their sins. That is the mission of Jesus. If we would go back to the birth narrative back in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel says this to Joseph, "And she will bring forth a son," she being Mary, the son, of course, being Jesus, "and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And this same Jesus that the angel talked about in Matthew chapter 1 is about to do some very serious evangelistic work with this Samaritan woman. And we need to know this. We need to know that there are no exceptions as to whom your divine appointment may be with. That person and that place and that time is exactly where and when and with whom God wants you to be. It may have been your choice to show up there, but you're just a part of God's divine purpose and his sovereignty. And sometimes that person that you're with is of another race. They could be of another gender. They could be of another ethnicity. They could be homeless. They could be helpless. They could look terrible. And they may even smell very bad. They could be of another religious affiliation. We don't know. And that's why it leads us to our second fill in the blank. In a divine appointment, we are never promised comfortable. We are never promised comfortable. What are we promised? We are given opportunity. Opportunity. It's not about being comfortable with the other person that's at that table with you or in that room with you. We are given opportunity when we are in these divine appointments. And when opportunity arises, Folks, we must take it. We must take it. In verses 13 and 14 in our scripture reading, Jesus informs this woman, the Samaritan woman, that once people drink from the water that he has to offer, which he calls living water, he says that they will never thirst again. And this Samaritan woman, probably like us, is thinking strictly on a physical basis. Wow, I'll never thirst again? You mean that I can drink from this water and I'll never thirst again? Well, that sounds really, really good to me. Give me some of this water, because if I have this water, I'll never have to come back to this well again and draw water over and over and over again. Just give me some of this, Jesus, and I'll never thirst again. Well, Jesus, because he knows all things, he realizes that she's not thinking the way that he kind of wants her to think. So Jesus changes the direction of the discussion and asks her about her husband. And it seems like that line kind of comes out of nowhere, doesn't it? Well, go call your husband and bring him here. This is probably a topic she really doesn't want to talk about. Probably a topic that she really doesn't want to discuss. The Samaritan woman has no husband. Well, Jesus already knows this. Jesus knows everything. Jesus tells her what she already knows. He tells her, "Woman, you've had five husbands, and the man that you're living with now is not your husband." This catches her ear. Now she realizes that this man that she's speaking with, who really she has no clue who he is except knowing that he's a Jew, is no ordinary man. She knows he is a Jew, but now she assumes maybe this man's a prophet because he knows things. So she immediately shifts the conversation from husbands and cohabitation, something she would really rather not discuss, onto how one must worship God. Do you ever wonder why she changed the conversation? Jesus changed the conversation earlier about water to husbands, and now she's changing the conversation from husbands to worship. Why would she do that? This is, in my spiritual imagination, here's what I think is happening. Because she feels like, you know, I might fail the test on relationships with men. But she feels like, you know what, I will pass the test on what she knows about worshiping God. After all, if this man is a prophet, which he might be, then let's give this conversation a spiritual flavor. And if we give it a spiritual flavor, maybe we can quit talking about me and my male relationship issues. Let's just change it into something that maybe he wants to talk about. Well, that's exactly what he wants to talk about. But isn't that a very human thing to do? You ever been into a conversation with somebody and they're discussing one of your shortcomings? And you don't want to talk about your shortcomings with other people. Let's change the direction of this conversation. Let's talk about something else, okay? Let's talk about anything else, okay? Let's just not talk about me and where I mess up and my shortcomings. Let's talk about worship, because where we need to worship, says the Samaritan woman, either on this mountain that we do or in Jerusalem, as you Jews say, sounds kind of religious. So since you're a religious person, let's make this conversation religious. I want to appear religious to this man because, after all, he might be a prophet. And that plays right into the direction that Jesus wants this conversation to go. Which leads us to our third fill in the blank. The conversation in a divine appointment will always go in a godly direction. It will always go in a godly direction. It must. Otherwise, it's not a divine appointment. Otherwise, it's just normal, everyday, routine, random conversation that you're having with another person at that time. But if it's part of something that God is ordaining and orchestrating as a divine appointment in your life and in somebody else's life, it will go in a godly direction. Someone, in some way, either you or the other person or the other people, will be directed by God, by the Holy Spirit, to move the conversation in a direction that God wants it to go. Why? To serve His purpose. And sometimes it's a little on the difficult side to pinpoint exactly when that might occur in the conversation. But that's really not the important thing. What's important is that someone is about to hear something about God that they need to hear from you, because you are there in the midst of that conversation to fulfill God's sovereign purpose. And it will always, always, always be in a direction that brings glory to God each and every time. And it won't be a struggle if you are on the giving end of a divine appointment. It won't be a struggle if you are the person that is sharing your faith. And you won't need to force God on somebody's throat, or you won't feel uncomfortable speaking, and you won't need to hit them over the head with your Bible. It'll be so sweet. It'll just happen. It'll just come out. And the other person will be receptive. And now the door is open for you to say what needs to be said, whatever that may be, about your faith, about God, about Jesus. We could probably and honestly say that every encounter that Jesus had with people, with human beings, was a divine appointment. Because the Bible says Jesus was always about doing the Father's work. And in our scripture text, we read the conversation about worship, which leads Jesus to have the opportunity to reveal himself as the Messiah. Did you ever notice, and this is kind of an aside here, did you ever notice that when you watch videos that are done about biblical times, that everybody speaks with a British accent? I haven't figured that one out yet, but they do. They speak with a British accent. Anyways, getting back to the task. If we would read a little bit further in John chapter 4, verses 39 through 42, we would see the result of this. We would see that many Samaritans believed in Jesus as the Messiah at that time for two reasons. One, because of the woman's testimony, the scriptures tell us, and two, because of the words that Jesus spoke directly to them. The Samaritans invited Jesus to stay for a while, and he had a chance to share all kinds of good things with him. I would have loved to have been there and heard what those conversations were like at that time. So let's bring it down. That's the divine appointment with the Samaritan woman and Jesus. But let's bring it down to our level. Let's bring it down to us. Have you ever been in a random or a routine situation, but then the circumstances and the conversation change, and then you are led to witness your faith with another person? And that is certainly not the way this whole conversation thing started out. And it's at that time when you realize that you are right smack dab in the middle of what I would call a divine appointment. Because the last thing that you thought was going to happen would be for you to share your faith in Jesus Christ with some other person. Beech Grove, you may never know where or when or with whom you may be with that God is going to turn a random situation that you are in, or this routine daily activity that you're in, and orchestrate it into a divine appointment. So the question is, are you ready for that to happen? Are you prepared for that to happen? If you have your bulletins with you here this morning, let's look at the front cover of the bulletin, because I have a very relevant scripture verse there on the front, from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, that I would like this congregation, let's all read this together. Okay, let's start. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Specifically, verse number 15, always be prepared. Hey, that could be our last fill in the blank in the bulletin. We must always be prepared to share our faith with others, because we never know when we are going to be with another person who might be an unbeliever, or maybe another Christian who needs encouragement, whatever the case may be, that we are there set up by divine appointment, because God certainly makes divine appointments. But my friends, the point of the message is this: always be prepared, because you never know where you're going to be and when you're going to be there and who you're going to be there with. So I'm going to ask just a kind of a really simple question. You're all probably going to have lunch somewhere today, maybe at home, maybe you're going to go to a restaurant or someplace. Did you ever pray and say, Lord, direct me to the right restaurant? Because maybe there's somebody there that needs to hear what I have to say. You just never know, do you, when a divine appointment might happen in your random and routine life, maybe even this afternoon, because somebody needs to hear what you have to say. Let's pray.